To Ruth chapter 3, once again, please. Ruth chapter 3. Almost on a daily basis, we come in contact with people and ask ourselves the question, why do you live like that? I came across this homeless fellow last night, and I'm not belittling anybody. I'm just thinking that there's got to be something better, amen? Amen. I think the Lord is the key to something better. In Ruth's life, the Lord was the key to something better. But it took some things had to take place in order for her to go from that point of just being a survivor. Well, what do I mean by that? She just lived one day at a time. Let's go see if I can find enough food to eat today. Okay, that was good. Let's try again tomorrow. Okay, that was good. Let's try again the next day. She went from that to being in the line of Christ. Amen? Amen. That's better. She went from being dependent upon what she could find. I don't want to, again, downplay the mercy of the Lord. She depended upon that, obviously, but in particular, she was looking for food where she could find it. She went from that to being the wife of Boaz, who had plenty. You and I, and I don't want you to take this in a strictly material sense. In a spiritual sense, it's the very same thing. Do you want to keep living the way you live spiritually, or wouldn't you like spiritual bounty? You know, spiritual plentifulness. We meet people all the time, and they're doubtful, and just getting by from day to day emotionally, and I don't like that word emotion. It's too much involved in the flesh, but our emotions are a reflection sometimes of our walk with God. And there are people that are just barely getting by. Folks, God can give us better.
Amen.
And some things had to happen. If you look at verse 5 and 6, we started this message last week, so I'm just going to kind of wander along here. In chapter 3, I'll reintroduce it here in a minute, but look in verses 5 and 6. Naomi has just told Ruth what to do, and it's not something that's necessarily convenient or comfortable. In fact, it's something that requires humility. And in verse 5, Ruth said unto Naomi, "All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. One of the things you see in Ruth's life from time and time again, when she left her home, now here she is listening to Naomi's guidance as Naomi tells her how to draw close to Boaz so that he can be her kinsman redeemer. Ruth is a young woman is not too proud to listen. She's not too proud to say, okay, I can do that. Some people will say, I can take care of myself. Ruth could have said, I don't need that. I'm doing just fine on my own. Folks, it is not embarrassing or insulting to admit we need God.
Amen.
It's not embarrassing or insulting to admit I cannot save myself. I cannot take care of myself. I do not have the wherewithal to provide my own spiritual well-being. And I need God. And I need that relationship with Him. And of course, you keep leaning towards applying this to salvation, but I meet saved people, and I want to ask them the question, do you want to live the rest of your life this way, or isn't there something better? Isn't there something more stable, more valuable, more constant than just surviving day by day? And let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read a little bit further along here in the passage. I won't read all of it. We'll start in verse 6. Read down through verse 13. The Bible says, she, that's Ruth, went down under the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. Just to remind you, that's a formal request there. That language indicates her desire to be his wife. In verse 10, and he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until morning. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, tonight as we spend a few moments in the Word of God, help us to be honest and accurate with the book of Ruth, and just help us to reflect upon the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ here that we see in Boaz, and not just the picture of Israel, but the picture of the lost soul and then of the saint that we see in Ruth. And we keep coming back to her character. Lord, help us to see the things in her that prepared her, that made her able to accept this deliverance that was available to her. Help us to be able to do the very same thing, as we need to be delivered from many things in this world. And I just pray you'd bless our time in the Bible. Guide and direct, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. So I think you were all here last week, but just in case you weren't, we started back in verse 1 last week and we ran out of time, but Ruth had been gleaning, and Naomi says in verse 1, should I seek rest for you? In other words, is there something better that you would have than just gleaning? And the answer obviously is yes, but some people would have been too proud and said, no, I'm just fine the way I am, and I don't need any help, I don't need anybody, I can take care of myself. That's just the pride pride of life that some people have. Don't be afraid to admit you need God. Don't be afraid to admit you can't do it. And then don't be so foolish, or whatever you want to call it, that you just don't seek help from God. In a sense, when people won't pray, when they won't go to church, when they won't make themselves available to the Lord, what I hear them saying in their actions is, I don't need God, I'm doing fine. Hey, listen, I need God. Amen? I'm not ashamed to say it. If you think you're bigger than the devil, you're definitely misconceived there. No, we need God. And Ruth understood there's something better than just getting along day by day. There's something better than just hoping that I get through one more day and gleaning and so on. And so she was willing to listen. And I mentioned last week what it took for her to be delivered. First of all, it took someone willing to speak, and that was Naomi. And folks, I just remind you again, we need to speak. Amen? Amen. I just got to thinking yesterday, as we finished up yesterday morning, it was a beautiful morning. It wasn't too hot. It won't always be that nice, but it was yesterday. And came across this young girl that's going to be in Detroit in a couple of weeks. What if we hadn't gone yesterday? I wonder who it is out there that's not going to be available to talk to here in a couple of weeks. I had a fellow in Utah one time call me and said, you need to go to the hospital and visit with somebody. And just a couple of days went by before I went, and the fellow had died. And I thought, wow, I should have gone quicker. I didn't know, but there's a sense of urgency, amen? Amen? And Naomi was willing to say something to Ruth, and Ruth was willing to listen. And I hope you're willing to say something to people, but I hope you're also willing to listen. Just listen to what God has to say. There's hope in the Bible. Came across people yesterday. They didn't want to listen. You know why they didn't want to listen? Because they think they've got a better idea than God has. They wouldn't say it that way, but that's the truth. And just remember that we need God. So it took someone willing to surrender, and that's what you see there in verse 5 and 6. But it also, we can focus on this tonight briefly, it took someone willing to save. Is the Lord Jesus Christ willing to save?
Amen.
You can see Boaz is willing to deliver Ruth. He's willing to do the part. And we'll just leave it at that for now. He's willing to take that part, to be that deliverer, to be that savior, if you will. And do you think the Lord Jesus Christ would save anyone that would legitimately come to him? The Bible says, he promised, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast them out. You have a need in your life. You have a grief in your life. You have problems in your life. You have an emptiness in your life. Is there anything that God can't do? Amen? What is it that you're not willing to let God do? And for whatever reason, folks, we have an adversary, the devil. He walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, he loves to devour the lost, but he's pretty well got them in his corner pocket already. But he loves to devour saved people, too. And what deception, what lie, what wickedness has he convinced some Christians to believe and got them living kind of like Ruth was from day to day, to where they just aren't satisfied. They're not content. I'll give you one example. We have to learn this. Paul said, I've learned that whatsoever state I am in therewith to be content. And he wasn't talking about the state of Arizona. He was talking about conditions. Now, we used to joke around about that. Well, I'm in Utah, but the Bible says, whatsoever state you're in therewith be content. Not the same kind of state. But you have to learn to be content. Years and years and years. Fort 15 in particular in Maryland. Every single year, we had to find a staff of usually 40 to 45 people, over half of them professionals, maybe 20 teachers. So along about November, December, January, I'd start hearing through the grapevine, well, so-and-so's not coming back next year. Oh, no, I got to find a teacher. So-and-so's not coming back next year. Oh, no, I got to find two teachers. So-and-so's not coming back next year. Well, good, but I still need to find three teachers, you know. I'm sorry, but sometimes it's that way. And so then we'd start looking for teachers, and the phone would ring. Oh, Pastor, my husband and I are moving into the area, and I'm a teacher. You have any opportunities? Well, yeah, praise the Lord. Every single year, God provided. Finally dawned on my thick head, I can trust God. Amen. So you know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to worry. Say, Pastor, do you worry about things? I do, but not that one. I've just learned God will provide. But you know what you need to learn? You need to learn God will provide the little things. The little things. You get news. People tell you, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. I won't be here for this, or I can't do that, or whatever. And I think, well, okay, God's going to have to provide. But if you're living your life like Ruth was before verse 1, where she's just gleaning, if that's your approach to life, you need the Lord to take care of that. Amen? Yeah. You're going to have to submit to him and let him do it his way. Right. What does that mean, Pastor? Well, for one thing, you got to trust him. What was Israel's great sin? Why did Israel have to go into captivity? Don't answer out loud, but think about that question for a minute. They did a lot of bad things. They stopped observing the Sabbath. They stopped observing every 7 years they were supposed to let the land lay and not labor, not work in the land. And they stopped doing that. And they stopped doing a lot of things. But what was the sin that caused Israel, that's the 10 northern tribes, and then Judah, the two southern tribes, what was the sin that caused them to go into captivity? And the answer is idolatry. What are you trusting in? What am I trusting in? And you know, one of the idols that we have the most trouble with is us. I can take care of it. That kind of idolatry I see a lot. I don't need the Lord. I got things under control. You are not right. You are a confused person if you think you've got things under control. And you know what? Is it so bad to depend on the Lord? It's not, is it? You say, well, Pastor, maybe that means I'm weak. No, it just means He's strong.
Amen.
Amen? And by the way, we are weak.
That's right.
Talk to these people that have cancer. Ask them how strong they are. Ask them if they think they can overcome that disease without God.
That's good.
Amen?
Amen?
We're weak. Face it. We can't do certain things. Outside of Boaz's help, Ruth would have lived the rest of her life one handful of grain at a time. Physically, materially, one handful of grain at a time, and spiritually, one handful of grain at a time. But let me show you the beautiful picture here, and we'll kind of finish up. As you get down into the chapter here, in verse 9, she makes a request. She says, "Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." It is sometimes challenging to study biblical customs because there are a lot of people that have written a lot of stuff that's not right. But near as I can tell from reading, is this is an allusion to being, I mentioned being his wife earlier, but it's really more than that. It is being dependent upon him. It's to having him as her provider. It's to have him her protector. Is that, you know, you've seen little children, they run up to mom and get close so that she can protect them. And that's the idea, that she wants him to be more to her than just the fellow that provides her with a half a bushel of grain every day or two. She wants something more than that. I think you'll agree with me. We want more from the Lord than just three meals a day and a place to sleep.
Amen.
Just provision. Provision is nice, but we want Him to be our protector, our provider.
Amen.
And folks, in order to do that, you have to be willing to say, if I need Him to protect me, that means I'm not going to protect myself. I can't protect myself. I can't do it. And then there's some decisions to be made. And Naomi took her through this. She's already humbled herself. It may not have made sense to her. It doesn't even make sense to me in some regards that she had to go and lay at this fellow's feet until midnight. And he woke up and he was kind of scared, like, who's here? Maybe somebody's here to attack me or whatever. And here's this woman laying at his feet. That's an uncomfortable situation. Not an immoral one, by the way, as I mentioned last week, but that's uncomfortable. But she was willing to do, even though it might not have made complete sense to her, what she needed to do to submit herself to him. And you know what we do sometimes? We say to ourselves, well, that doesn't make sense to me, so I just don't think I'll do that. It just doesn't make sense to me that it's important to be in church when I could be making money. It just doesn't make sense to me that one more prayer meeting is going to make or break or make things happen in my life or in somebody else's life. Folks, it doesn't have to make sense. God said to do it.
Amen.
And if I'm submitted to Him, then I'll do what He asks, even if it doesn't make sense. I have made some decisions in my life that, as far as the world is concerned, doesn't make any sense. I can still remember my adopted mother and my wife's mother as well saying, "You're going to quit the career that you have been making money in and go into the ministry? That doesn't make any sense. Can't you do both? You're going to quit doing what you used to do and look at how good this has been for you." And it doesn't have to make sense. Folks, God makes things make sense.
Yeah.
Amen? So let's just kind of wrap it up here as we're out of time. If you go to the 10th verse or so, he says something to her that's very interesting here at the end of the verse. He says, and I read the whole thing, he says, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter." Don't leave the Lord out, amen? "For thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as," look at this, "thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich." Now, here, you understand what he's saying. He's an older fellow. Young girl might be interested in a young boy. Might find a young person more attractive. Might find a young person more pleasant, more easy to talk to, more their age group or whatever. But Ruth, the young girl, has gone to this older man and expressed that she wants him as her provider. She wants him as her husband. And here's the thought. There are some other contestants out there that would vie for, they would compete for your attention and my attention as our provider. Career. Education. A lot of people today, I mentioned this too much, I'll kind of leave it alone, but government. They want the government to take place of God. I don't have a God, so I need government to provide for me. Government to feed me when I haven't got enough. Government to provide me with medical care. Government to give me housing. Government to give me whatever. And then understand, you're the government. Yeah, and the government can't give anything to somebody unless it takes it from somebody else. She could have chosen somebody else. Maybe something more desirable in her eyes. Maybe something more attractive. Maybe something that seemed more pleasant. Well, let's see here. Would you rather be married to a young guy, or would you rather be David's grandmother? You know, what happened with her is by submitting in this way, she became part of the line of Christ. Here's a simple message. We may have to give up some things that we find desirable in order to have something better. So what does the devil do? The devil has, how many of you have ever read Pilgrim's Progress? Pilgrim's Progress? Not the easiest book to read, but I read something the other day. I was reading, reading a book by a pastor, and he said, you ought to read Pilgrim's Progress at least once every couple of years. And I was thinking, I haven't read that in a while. I should read that again. But do you remember Vanity Fair and Pilgrim's Progress? Remember Vanity Fair? There's all these things you could have, all these things you could have. And Christian sees all these things he could have, but no, he's going to stay on the path. And isn't that what the devil does to us? He's got this gallery of things that look desirable. If you had that, you'd be happy. Oh, hey, here, take this. And Ruth said, nope, I want what's right. I want my kinsman redeemer. I want the one, and he was special in that way, that he was qualified like nobody else. The Lord Jesus Christ is qualified like nobody else. I hope I don't mention this too much, but just remember this. The Lord Jesus Christ became flesh. John 1:14, the Word became flesh. And that is so he could save us. He is our kinsman. And did he not redeem us?
Amen.
And someone says, and I see it all the time. I saw it Tuesday. All the time I see it. Someone says, I think I want something more attractive than Jesus. I want something more attractive than... Now, if you said it that way, people would say, oh, I'd never say that. Oh, no, let's go this direction. I want something more attractive than the limits that the Bible's going to place on me. I want something more attractive than being in church or than the hymns of the faith. I want something more attractive than the hymns of the faith. I just want you to know something. Our music is not meant to please us. It's meant to please God.
Amen.
And oh, by the way, if it pleases God, it'll please you if you're right with God.
Amen.
But somebody says, I want something more attractive than that. Ruth said, nope, I want what's right. It may not be the best looking, it may not be the youngest, it may not be the most attractive, but that's what I want. And she made a right decision, didn't she?
Amen.
Real quick, let's finish up here. So now those conditions are all met. And look what he says in verse 11. Wouldn't you like to hear the Lord say part of this to you? Fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest. Now she asked him to be her protector in verse 9, to be her spouse, if you will. She asked him that in verse 9. And in verse 11, he says, fear not. Folks, when the Lord Jesus Christ says to you and I, fear not, you can take that to the bank.
Amen?
Someone says, well, I have to give some things up. I'd a lot rather hear the Lord say, fear not, than have some of the stuff the world has to offer.
Amen.
I've met enough people that have gone through life, and they're sitting in a nursing home, or they're sitting in hospice, or they're sitting in the hospital, and life is about to end. And they would look at me, and they would say, and I've heard somebody say these words, what was it all for? Because if you just go from handful of grain to handful of grain, from day to day, surviving this to surviving that, and you never had a redeemer, what was it all for? And Christian, it's possible to be saved and live a somewhat, I won't say completely, but a somewhat empty spiritual life. Sure. If you're not careful. For what? Well, I had a better idea, Pastor. Oh, no, you didn't. I'd a lot rather hear the Lord say, fear not. Amen. And he, in verse 12 and 13, he sets the stage for what comes next. And we'll just stop right there for the night. But it took someone to speak, someone willing to speak, someone willing to surrender, and someone willing to save. And I just want you to know the Lord's willing to save. Amen?
Amen.
It's just a question of whether we're willing to surrender to him. Let's all stand and pray.